Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight, we have a terrifying cabin story. This guy needs a break from society, away from his phone, away from everyone, including Latte. But what happens when you find out you're not truly alone in the cabin, in the woods? Well, nothing good. Now let's get spooky. All right, I don't even know where to start. I'm in a motel room that smells like stale cigarettes and bleach, about 100 miles from where I was last night. For context, I work a job that essentially melts your brain. You know the kind. Endless spreadsheets, back-to-back video calls where everyone talks over each other, a constant barrage of emails that are all marked urgent. After a particularly brutal 6-month project, I was completely fried. A walking zombie. My boss, to his credit, saw it and basically ordered me to take 2 weeks off. "Go somewhere with no cell service," he said. The first place that came to mind was my father's old cabin. It's not really just my father's. It was his father's before him and his father's before that. It's been in the family for a century, maybe more. A small, sturdy log cabin deep in the woods, miles from the nearest town. It's the literal definition of off the grid. A well for water, a generator for a few hours of electricity at night, and a fireplace for heat. It was the perfect place to disconnect, to just sit in silence and let my brain unscramble itself. My dad passed away a few years ago. We weren't estranged, but we weren't close. He was a quiet, solitary man, and the cabin was his sanctuary. I have a few hazy, happy memories of being there as a little kid. The smell of pine needles and wood smoke. The feel of rough-hewn timber under my bare feet. Him teaching me how to skip stones at a nearby creek. Going back felt like a way to honor him, I guess. A way to find some of that peace he always seemed to have when he was there. The drive up there was long. The last hour on a winding dirt road that was more pothole than path. When I finally pulled up, the place looked exactly as I had remembered. The logs were a little darker, more weathered gray. The porch sagged a little on one side, but it was solid. The air was clean and cold, and the silence was so total it felt like a weight in my ears. No cars, no sirens, no people. Just the wind sighing through the massive pines that surrounded the property like ancient sentinels. I spent the first day just existing. I unpacked my meager supplies, books, non-perishable food, a couple of good bottles of whiskey. I swept the dust off the floors, started a fire in the hearth, and sat on the porch watching the sun go down, painting the sky in fiery oranges and purples. For the first time in months, the knot in my chest started to loosen. That first night, I fired up the generator for a few hours to run the lights and read. The cabin had two main windows in the living area, big single panes of glass that looked out into the impenetrable blackness of the forest. As soon as I flipped on the lamp beside my armchair, they came. The moths. It's normal, of course. A single point of light in an ocean of darkness. You're going to attract every insect for miles. They fluttered and danced against the glass, dozens of them, their dusty wings like soft gray snow against the pane. I barely noticed them. It was a familiar, almost comforting sound of the wilderness. The soft, papery thump, thump, thump of their bodies hitting the window. I read for an hour, turned off the generator, and fell into the deepest, most dreamless sleep I've had in years. The second day was even better. I chopped some wood for the fire, went for a long hike, and felt the city stress sloughing off me with every step. I was reconnecting with something primal, something real. The world felt simple again. That night, I did the same thing. Fired up the generator, poured myself a small whiskey, and settled in with my book. And again, the moths came. At first, it was the same as the night before. A chaotic flurry of wings against the glass. But as minutes stretched on, I started to notice something. A sound beneath the general chaos. A single persistent tapping. Tap, tap, tap. It was distinct from the soft, fleshy thuds of the other moths. It was sharper, more deliberate. I looked up from my book, trying to pinpoint it. On the right-hand window, a large, pale moth, bigger than the others, almost the size of my thumb, was clinging to the glass. It wasn't fluttering. It was perfectly still, except for its wings. It would lift one wing and strike it against the pane. Tap, tap, tap. It was odd, but I shrugged it off. Insects are weird. I went back to my book, but I couldn't focus. The sound was impossible to ignore now that I had isolated it. There was a rhythm to it. Tap, tap, tap. Tap. Tap, tap, tap. A pause. Then again. Tap, tap, tap. Tap. Tap, tap, tap. I closed my book and just watched. The big moth stayed in the same spot, its wings methodically striking the glass. It was bizarre. I had never seen a moth do anything like it. It felt less like an insect attracted to light and more like something knocking, trying to get my attention. I know it sounds crazy. I thought it was crazy then. I chalked it up to being alone, my mind playing tricks on me in the overwhelming silence. I shut off the generator early, and the tapping stopped the instant the light went out. The silence that rushed in to fill the void felt heavier than before. The next day, the thought of the tapping moth followed me around. It was a splinter in my mind. I couldn't shake the feeling that I had witnessed something deeply unnatural. The perfect solitude of the cabin now felt watchful. The woods seemed to be holding their breath. That evening, I was almost hesitant to turn on the generator. But the thought of sitting in complete darkness was worse. So I pulled the cord, the engine sputtered to life, and the lights flickered on. I didn't even pretend to read. I just sat in the armchair, whiskey in hand, and waited. Within minutes, the cloud of moths was back. And sure enough, there it was. The same large, pale moth, in almost the exact same spot on the window. It was still for a moment, and then the tapping began. Tap. Tap, tap, tap. A long pause. Tap, tap. Tap. Tap, tap. Tap, tap. This time, I was ready. I grabbed a pen and an old leather-bound journal I had found in the desk drawer, my grandfather's, by the look of the faded initials on the cover. I didn't know what I was doing exactly. It just felt like something I had to do. A challenge. I decided to log the taps. I made a simple system. A dot for a short, quick tap, and a dash for a slightly longer, more resonant one. I noted the pauses between sequences. For the next 3 hours, I sat there like some mad scientist, my eyes glued to the moth, my pen scratching across the yellowed paper of the journal. The world shrank to that single pane of glass, and the rhythmic sound echoing in the small, warm room.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Page after page filled with my frantic scribbles of dots and dashes. The moth was tireless. It never seemed to stop, save for the deliberate pauses between its tapping. My hand started to cramp. My eyes burned from the strain, but I couldn't stop. I was compelled. There was a logic to it, a structure that was too consistent to be random. And then a memory surfaced. Something I'd read years ago online. One of those late-night internet rabbit holes. It was a pop science article about animal intelligence. The article mentioned experiments where scientists had managed to teach bumblebees to associate symbols with rewards. A rudimentary form of communication. It even briefly mentioned the possibility of teaching them simple binary symbols, like a very basic form of Morse code. The pen fell from my hand and clattered onto the wooden floor. Morse code. It couldn't be. It was the most insane, ridiculous idea I have ever had. Moths can't tap out Morse code. It's impossible. It's a violation to every law of nature I understood. But the patterns on the page, they looked so familiar. I remembered learning some of it as a kid in Scouts. Three dots for S. Three dashes for O. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. I looked at the window. The moth was tapping out S.O.S. My blood went cold. I grabbed my phone. It had no service, but the battery was full. I had downloaded a bunch of stuff before I left, just in case of emergencies. Books, movies, and the survival guide app. I fumbled it open, my fingers slick with sweat. The app had a utility section, flashlight, compass, and a Morse code chart. My heart was hammering against my ribs so hard, I could feel it in my throat. I pulled the journal into my lap, turning to the page of my transcription, and began to translate. My hands were shaking so badly, it was hard to trace the lines. The first few sequences were jumbled, gibberish. I probably misheard them, wrote them down wrong. I felt a wave of relief. It was nothing. Just my overactive imagination. I was about to laugh at myself to pour a stiff whiskey and call it a night. But then I got to a sequence I was sure I had recorded perfectly. It was long, and the rhythm had been incredibly clear. I went letter by letter. U-N-D-E. R. Under. My breath hitched. Okay. Coincidence. It had to be. I kept going, my eyes scanning the pages of dots and dashes, comparing them to the chart on my phone screen. The next clear word I translated was H. U. N. G. R. Why? Hungry. The air in the cabin suddenly felt thin, cold. I stood up and paced the small room, the old floorboards groaning under my feet. Under. Hungry. This wasn't a coincidence. This was a message. But who was sending it, and how? The moth was just an insect. It couldn't think. It couldn't reason. I spent the rest of the night translating. The generator sputtered and died around 2 a.m., plunging the room into darkness and silence. The tapping stopped instantly. I didn't sleep. I sat in the dark. The words I had translated burned in my mind. Soon. Deep. Wait. Stone. Roots. They were disjointed, single words. Fragments of thought. It was like listening to someone talk in their sleep. But they painted a terrifying, impressionistic picture. Something was under, but under what? Under the cabin? Something deep? Something made of stone and tangled in roots? And it was hungry, waiting. I felt that I may be overreacting and my mind just completely a buzzle that didn't exist. The next day, I was a wreck. I didn't hike. I didn't chop wood. I barely ate. I searched the cabin, looking for, I don't know what, a clue? An explanation? I tore through the drawers of my father's old desk, the bookshelf filled with dusty paperbacks. And then I found it, tucked in the back of my grandfather's journal I had been using. The section at the very end, where the handwriting changed from my grandfather's neat cursive to my great-grandfather's spidery scrawl. The entries were short, cryptic. October 12th, 1934. The generator is a blessing, but the light calls to it. Must be sparing. May 3rd, 1938. Dug a new well, hit stone at 20 feet. Smooth, black stone, not slate. Filled it back in. We'll draw from the next creek. September 21st, 1945. It sleeps, but it listens. The old man knew. The silence is a cradle. The noise, it's a dream. Do not wake the dream. July 16th, 1952. Tell the boy to keep the lamps low. Never dig past the old oak. Some things are better left buried. Some hunger never dies. My blood turned to ice. Some hunger never dies? My ancestors? Did they know? That night, I knew I had to listen. I was terrified. Every primal instinct in my body screamed at me to get in my car and drive. But another part of me, a morbid, obsessive curiosity, had to know the rest of the story. I had to know what I was sitting on top of. I fired up the generator. The moths came. The tapping started. This time the messages were different. They were longer, more coherent. It was as if by listening I had somehow strengthened the connection. The moth tapped and I wrote, my hand flying across the page. It felt like I was taking dictation from beyond the grave. I didn't wait to translate. I flipped page after page of the journal, the dots and dashes becoming a blur. The moth was tapping faster now, more urgently. The air in the room grew thick, heavy with a strange static energy. The light from the lamp seemed to dim, as if the very air was absorbing it. Finally, after hours, the moth stopped. It fell from the window pane, a tiny, lifeless husk on the porch outside. The other moth swirled, confused, before dispersing into the night. Silence. I sat there for a long moment, my chest tight with a suffocating dread. Then, with trembling hands, I picked up my phone and began to translate the last long message. The story it told was not of this world. It spoke of a time before the trees, before the soil. It spoke of a vast, silent intelligence that fell from the stars and burrowed deep into the cooling earth to escape the harsh light of the sun. It described itself not as of a creature of flesh and blood, but of patience and gravity and hunger. It spoke of the first people, my ancestors, who found it. They didn't understand it, but they feared it. They felt its presence in the deep rock, a coldness that seeped up from the ground. They couldn't kill it, so they bound it. They performed rituals, laid down great stones, and buried it under layers of earth in prayer, entombing it in a silent, dreamless sleep. The messages explained that it could not see or hear. Its only sense was a form of perception tied to energy. For millennia, its only sensations were the slow warmth of the sun deep in the earth, the crawling of roots, the shifting of rock. It slept. But the coming of man brought new sensations. Fire, the vibrations of voices. And then, electricity, artificial light. To its ancient, dormant consciousness, this light was a piercing scream in an eternity of silence, a sharp, painful needle pricking it awake. It couldn't move, not yet. The bindings of the first men were strong. but it could reach out. It could touch the tiny, simple nervous systems of the creatures drawn to the light. The insects. It could borrow their bodies, use their frantic energy to beat against the barrier of my window, to tap out its story, its plea, its warning, in the only language it could form from the binary chaos of their fluttering. I felt sick. My family built a watchtower, a prison guard's shack, and for generations, they had kept the watch, living quietly, sparingly, as to not disturb the prisoner in the dungeon below.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
My father, with his quiet solitude, was a warden. And I, with my city stress and my desperate need for light and noise, had been shaking the bars of the cell door all week. My eyes scanned the last few lines of my transcription. A new frantic tapping had begun just before the moth died. It was short, precise. I translated the last sequence of dots and dashes, my pencil scratching across the page. My heart stopped. I read it again to be sure. IT. WAKES. WHEN. THE. LIGHT. GOES. OUT. It wakes when the light goes out. As my mind processed the final horrifying word, a sound came from the porch. A low, electrical buzz. I looked up from the journal. The bare bulb above my porch door, the very light that had drawn the moths, was flickering. It buzzed, a dying insect sound, flared with a brilliant, painful intensity, and then went dark. The lamp beside me flickered in sympathy, and then it too died as the generator outside coughed, sputtered, and fell silent, plunging me into absolute, total darkness. The rhythmic tapping was gone. The world was utterly silent. Not the peaceful silence of the forest I had craved, but a dead, waiting, profound silence. The kind of silence that listens. I didn't breathe. I couldn't move. My entire being was focused on listening. And then I heard it. It wasn't a sound from outside. It wasn't the wind or a branch falling or an animal. It came from directly beneath my feet, from under the floorboards, from deep in the earth the cabin was built upon. It was a slow, heavy, scraping sound. The sound of something impossibly ancient and vast shifting its weight. The grating of stone against stone. A sound that vibrated up through the soles of my shoes and into my bones. It was the sound of a tomb door grinding open after 1,000 years. I didn't scream. The sound was trapped in my throat, A choked, pathetic little gasp. That was it. The spell of morbid curiosity was broken, shattered by a blast of pure animal terror. I didn't think. I just reacted. I scrambled backwards, knocking over the armchair, my hands flailing in the dark. I crab-walked away from the sound, my own thought being out. I found the door by touch, fumbled with the bolt, my fingers feeling useless. The scraping sound was louder now, a deep resonant groan that seemed to shake the very foundations of the cabin. The door flew open and I fell out onto the porch, gulping the cold night air. I didn't look back. I sprinted across the clearing to my car, my keys already in my hand, jabbing them into the lock. The scraping was a constant grinding vibration in the ground now. I threw myself into the driver's seat, jamming the key into the ignition, and prayed. The engine turned over on the first try. I had never been so grateful for the roar of an internal combustion engine in my entire life. I slammed the car into reverse, not caring about the trees, and spun the wheel, my tires spitting gravel. The headlights cut a frantic swath through the darkness, illuminating the front of the cabin for a split second. There was nothing there. Just the dark windows and the silent porch. But the ground in front of the steps, it looked wrong. It looked raised, like something was pushing up from below. I didn't wait to see what it was. I stomped on the accelerator and fled down that winding dirt road, the car buckling and sliding, branches whipping against the windows. I didn't slow down until the earth turned to asphalt, and I didn't stop driving until the sun started to rise and I saw the blessed, ugly, beautiful glow of a motel sign. So here I am, writing this. I left everything back there, my clothes, my father's memories, my grandfather's journal with its terrible notes. I could never go back. I know that. The cabin, my family's legacy, it's gone. It's a tomb. And I opened the door. All I know is that something is awake that should have slept forever.